expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Boker Tov, Lekula Mazinim. My name is Rahel.
And Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real. Zorayim Tovim B'Yisrael. 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. We are a community-supported program, and we depend on your support to stay on the air. And so, first of all, we'd like to extend our thanks to all those who love and support our efforts on behalf of spreading the good news about Israel. So far, we've raised $2,175 this week.
Yeah.
Got another donation. And our goal is $5,600, so keep us on the air, so keep those donations coming. You can visit us at our archives and our website at israelisreal.weebly.com, is www.israelisreal.weebly.com. You can email us to find out information and also to give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. israelisreal1590@gmail.com. And again, we'd like to thank our sponsors. We have a few good ones and a few really loyal ones, and one of them is Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.nh4israel.org. That's www.newhampshireforisrael.org.
And we'd like to let our audiences know that Shuli Natan, an Israeli folk singer, perhaps
Joan Baez,
the Joan Baez of Israel, as she's been called, will be coming for a performance here in New Hampshire. And we're very excited about it. She will be performing at the Jewish Federation of New Hampshire on March 5th, Saturday night at 8 p.m. In 1967, Shuli Natan captivated Israeli audiences by singing Naomi Shemer's song Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Jerusalem of Gold. Today, she's a world-famous folk singer, she's a storyteller, and she sings in Hebrew, English, French, and Spanish. So don't miss this opportunity to attend a one-time-only special musical performance by Shuli Natan on, again, Saturday, March 6th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Jewish Federation in New Hampshire. It's in Manchester. And if you want tickets, you can reserve tickets now, or you can get further information by calling 603-627-7679, or you can visit the website at www.jewishnewhampshire.org. That's www.jewishnh.org. Well, today we have we're going to be playing you a recorded interview after the break. But we're going to start with our Hebrew word today, which is emunah.
So you want again to know what emunah means?
Oh, I think I know, but I think our listeners might want to know.
So emunah is faith. Is the confident belief.
You mean faith.
Faith. Yeah. is the confident belief or trust in the truth or trustworthiness of a people, of a person, on an idea or a thing. The word faith can refer to a religion itself or to the religion in general. As with trust, faith involves a concept of future event or outcomes and is used conversely for a belief not resting on logical proof or material evidence. Informal usage of the word faith can be quite broad and may be used in place of trust or belief. And why we started with this?
Well, I was going to say that the word amen,
it's coming comes from emunah,
which is a word that everybody knows.
Right.
It sounds like we're having some work done here on Nashua in Main Street. So when you're hearing the construction worker outside, that's what you've got.
They have the belief that we cannot... the noises will go over, so they will make the present to our public.
You have fans out there, Rahel. That's what
have,
it is.
Yeah, exactly. Fans are, if we look out the window, we can see them in there. They're trying to...
Working.
They're trying to listen to us. But they have faith in us. And
so?
We were talking about emunah, faith. The reason why we're talking about faith today is because our guest today is Rosemary Trapp. And yes, she is of the famous
Trapp
Von Trapp family.
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Julie Andrews.
Right, with producer sound man here, George, needs to still see the movie.
I got to catch up.
Time to catch up, George.
You have some homework to do next time.
It's my assignment for next show.
That's right. But let's fill you in a little bit about who Rosemary is and a little bit about her family. First of all, I want to talk about somebody else who was a woman of great faith, Flora Larson. Flora Larson is our good friend's mother.
Miriam.
She was a guest on our show, and she's part of our
first
team here.
First show, first guest.
Second show, I think. And but they're, she and Amitai are part of our team. And her mother, Flora Larson, passed away on December 1st, last year, 2009. Flora, who I actually knew as Mama, and only knew her as Mama, I knew her as a very kind woman. She always had a smile on her face, very sweet, always happy, always kind and giving. She was passionate about her Christian faith, about being a Christian. She was passionate about Israel. Excuse me. And she was also passionate about living life to the fullest. She inspired faith in many people. She lived almost a full 100 years.
Almost, right.
Almost. She was going to be 100 in April this year.
Hmm.
But she passed away on December 1st, as I said, last year in 2009. One thing I didn't know about Mama was that she was truly an extraordinary woman who, through her own life and devotion, had inspired so many others to visit and to love the Jewish state of Israel. And one of those people who Flora touched deeply was and is Rosemary Trapp.
Hmm.
And I had the good fortune, just by chance, of meeting Rosemary at Flora's...
You have been to the funeral of Mama, so this is
right.
How you find out about Rosemary.
Exactly.
I was in Israel.
You were in Israel.
Because the same.
For the same reason. You had
yeah.
lost your mother.
Yeah.
And I was attending the memorial service. And when up jumped a very sprite yet elderly woman and started to talk. And she introduced herself and she said, "Hi, I'm Rosemary Trapp." And I thought to myself, Rosemary Trapp? Could it be the same? And she spoke and she said some amazing things about Israel. And I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. And afterwards, when she sat down again, she actually came and sat next to me and I started to talk to her and found out that she was indeed one of the Trapp family singers. And asked her...
She wasn't from the family of singers, I think.
She was, actually.
She was,
yeah.
Really?
And we'll hear it in the interview. She talks about herself a little bit. And Yeah, and she agreed to do a spontaneous interview, which I was thrilled about. So
nice.
Let me tell you a little bit about the Trapp family. Rosemary Trapp is actually the eighth child in a line of 10, but she was the first
Maria child.
Right, of Maria, who in the movie, if you know the movie Sound of Music, George, then you'll know that that Maria was... she was in a convent. She was going to be a nun, but she was kind of mischievous and didn't quite make it. They sent her to be
to take care of
not the governess,
kids.
But was it called the governess
yes,
then?
Yeah. Yes.
They sent her. There was
a teacher and
a family. Georg von Trapp had lost his wife to scarlet fever. And he had 7 children, and he needed someone to help him out in the house. And they sent Maria in the movie and also in real life. So what happened was Georg von Trapp, he was a World War I Austrian Navy captain. We know of the Trapp family from the movie. Maria was sent to care, as I said, for the Captain von Trapp's 7 children following the death of his wife from scarlet fever at the time. And he later fell in love with Maria, and they married and had 3 additional children, Rosemary being, as we said,
the first
of Maria. Who Rosemary was born in 1928. The Trapp family actually were exposed to the beginnings of Nazi Germany.
Nazi government.
The Nazi government. They were... him being a high-ranking naval officer was asked to participate in many things, including his family were singers, and they were asked to sing at Hitler's birthday party. They realized that they were refusing more and more things because they didn't agree with the government policies, and they realized that Nazis had anti-religious propaganda and the policies, and they were spreading a lot of fear. They saw people acting as spies. They saw the brainwashing going on against the from children against their parents, and they thought that if they stayed in Austria,
going to happen to their own kids.
Right, and they weighed out: should we stay with all of what we've got, or should we go? They chose to leave Nazi Germany, the budding Nazi Germany at the time, and set out for America. Traveling through Italy, and they got to America where they did a few shows. They were a performing family. They did some shows. They were not giving visas to stay. They had to go in and out for a couple of years, but eventually they did come into America and settle in Vermont, in Stowe, and in the early 1940s. And by 1950, had opened up a guest house in Stowe, Vermont, called the Trapp Family Lodge, and it still operates today in Stowe. They stopped touring in 1955, and although many of the children were singing and teaching music at the Trapp Family Lodge,
wow.
And we have a lot of information about them. You can go to the website and find out about them. But we're going to hear after the break. We're going to cut to a break now, but after the break, we're going to hear Rosemary talking about her life and about herself and her faith and her love of Israel. So please join us, WSMN 1590, Israel is Real. We'll be back.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
This is Dave Solomon, editor of The Telegraph, here to tell you about a series coming this Sunday that you won't want to miss, Paved with Bad Intentions, an in-depth look at paving scams that prey on the elderly. The Telegraph will introduce readers to a clan of notorious cross-country paving scammers who share the same techniques and in many cases the same last name. Find out how they operate, how they've attracted the attention of law enforcement from Maine to California, their connections to the Nashua area, and how you can avoid becoming the next victim. Only in The Telegraph. Starting Sunday, February 21st.
Mormart will be hosting a Spring Easter Care Package for the Troops event from March 4th through the 6th, and your donations are vital to make this project a success. Mormart is a nonprofit volunteer organization whose mission is to send care packages to members of our armed services serving in the Middle East. And to date, Mormart has shipped over 24,000 care packages to servicemen and women serving overseas. For details on how to donate care package items, cash, or volunteer, go to mormart.org. That's mormart.org.
Meet the faces of influenza, groups who should be immunized every year.
I have a chronic medical condition.
Asthma.
I have COPD, a serious lung disease.
Pregnant during influenza season.
We live with a baby under 6 months old.
We're in the group 6 months through 18 years.
Age 50 or older.
Care for someone at risk.
Live with someone at risk.
I live with someone at risk.
The American Lung Association asks, do you see your family or yourself here? I'm Christy Yamaguchi. As one of the many faces of influenza, you and I and those close to us need to get vaccinated. In an average year, about 36,000 people die from influenza and its complications. See your healthcare provider about getting vaccinated. It's a safe and effective way to prevent influenza. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza isn't the common cold. It's serious.
This message addresses seasonal influenza, a public service message from the American Lung Association.
Hi, it's Doug Steffen. Listen to Good Day early mornings on 1590 WSMN.
Nashua's News and Talk.
Hi, we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk with Israel is Real. We are two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. So I wanted to just say that we're very grateful again to all our sponsors. And one of our sponsors is Vern Main and Associates. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialist at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua, or you can find them on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com. vernmain.com. And as we were saying before, we are going to now hear a interview with Rosemary Trapp from the famous Trapp Family Singers, Von Trapp Family, which was taken in Stowe, Vermont, recorded in December at the memorial service of Flora Larson, a good friend of all of us. So take it away, George.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So you are Rosemary Trapp, and you are from the Trapp family.
Yes.
And which, where are you in the Trapp family?
I'm number eight.
Number eight.
And, yes, and we are a half brothers and sisters family, so my other older sisters and brothers gave concerts, and we were able to flee from Hitler and come to America with a permanent visa, and we settled in Vermont, and me and my younger sister went to school until we started homeschooling, and we went with the family on tour and sang and did homeschool at home on the trip.
Did you tour in America?
Yes, we toured in the United States, Canada, Hawaii, South America, Australia and New Zealand, and
were you born in?
I was born in Austria, Salzburg, Austria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was 9 years old when we came to America.
How,
you know, I have to ask, because, of course, The Sound of Music made your family famous. Uh-huh. Was the escape from Germany like that?
No, we did not have to go over the mountains. Thank God we were able to leave before Hitler invaded, like a few days, I think, and before the soldiers had any power. And we took a train, and we took the very basic essentials with us, and went to Italy. And from there we went to France, and then we we took a boat called the American Farmer and came to America.
So this is almost the way the Jews had to flee as well.
Right, but not as dangerous.
But not as dangerous.
No. And yeah. Rodgers and Hammerstein were Jewish people, and they made the beautiful movie, music to it. Mm-hmm. And it was their last show that they created. And so they did a wonderful job to bring hope to other refugees, I believe. I believe that was their intention.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now, I just heard you speak tonight at the funeral, at the memorial.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to interview you, I didn't know who you were, and when you got up, I thought you said some beautiful things about Israel. Yeah. And I was interested that you mentioned that your family was not so for Israel, and that you yourself...
Oh, they just don't compromise. They compromise. We don't talk about things in, you know, politics so much, and I mm-hmm. didn't know how to explain to them my love for Israel, but it was sort of like Flora. She went around the world, and the best place for her was Israel. And that's the way it was with me. I went to so many countries, and I saw so much in my life, and when I went to Israel, it seemed like the Bible became real, Jesus became real, history took on a new flavor. And I realized that God has his eye on Israel, and it's the apple of his eye, no matter what happens, and that they're an example to us. They are the light of the world, even if they don't want to be. But we have to learn from them what God wants us to do, and Israel will be turning wholeheartedly to the Lord in one of these days too. That's what is written in the Bible, and we believe it. But the history from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on, you know, that became so real to me because I lived in an archaeological dig in the desert south of the Dead Sea for 4 winters.
You went 4 times,
uh-huh.
4 times to Israel, and how long each time?
Well, once only a couple weeks, then a month, then 3 months, 6 months, then 9. The last time I went 9 months.
So each time you wanted to stay more.
Yeah, right. I got to like it more. And we took care of the tourists in the dig, but we also had a lot of insight into the Bible.
I bet. What was it like to come from a Bible perspective and then to actually be in the land and to experience it and to see it really as it's described?
Yeah. It's like when I grew up, my faith was not rooted and grounded in anything. It was very fairy tale-like.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was like a picture on the wall. He never became a historical person until I went to Israel. And then we learned that when we give our life to Jesus, I had an experience where I left, I had to say, God, I give up my own will and I want to do your will. I want to live your life.
What kind of an experience can I ask? Or it's personal?
It was like saying the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like going, but I didn't have to go up to the altar. I said it in my bedroom with a man on the radio, an evangelist. He said, if you want to know Jesus or if you want help and if you don't know where to go, go to Jesus on the cross and give him your life because he paid the price for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that and I asked him to come and take over. And he did, and he changed my life. And that was how I got to Israel.
Wow.
And then he became more real to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So describe your...
So I realized that we are adopted into the family of God once we give our life to Jesus, because he becomes our brother and we become his family. And so when I talk to other believers, it's like talking to family, because we know what we're talking about. And then I found out that we are also grafted into the olive tree of Israel. And that excited me so much, because I love the way they celebrate Shabbat in Israel. No buses, no stores open. You're not supposed to cook. You're not supposed to clean on Shabbat. You're really supposed to rest. I think God did that for the women's sake. He loved the women. So, and then I love the seven feasts of Israel, because they are remembrances of what God did for Israel, and it's a Thanksgiving feast.
You're talking about
Pesach,
Sukkot.
First fruits, Sukkot, and unleavened bread, and trumpets, and Yom Kippur,
right.
And the Tabernacle feast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these are all Thanksgiving feasts.
Yes. Right? Okay.
So we need that in the world. God wants us to celebrate, wants the whole world to celebrate Thanksgiving for what he does for us. Mm-hmm. So I like that, and I like to be grafted in. I'm not my own person. I'm not an individual that created myself. I didn't do anything for myself. I owe it to God.
Well, can you describe your experiences when you were in Israel? You said you were on a dig, archaeological dig. And
yes.
Did you go
to a church? I belong to a group called the Community of the Crucified One. And 90 of us went the first time in 79. But then in 2003, 4, 5, and 6, we went to a dig in the south of the Arava, and we call it Tamar. And it had a beautiful well, and it had seven layers of fortress civilizations building one on top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting to learn about history through archaeology.
Oh, yes, of course, especially in Israel.
Yes.
Where you're digging up really ancient
yes.
artifacts from the original time.
Yes.
That must have been amazing. Very exciting.
It's very amazing.
And each time you went, were you on a dig?
I lived on a dig. I lived at the dig. We had old-fashioned trailers. And they weren't very elegant or anything, but they were, you know, they were okay. And it's still there, and it's still not very fashionable. It's not a first-class hotel, you know.
No.
No, it's more like a hike in the woods, you know.
What was the first year that you went to Israel?
I think it was first year in 79. That was a tour, and we went up to Galilee, and then we came down to the Dead Sea and to Masada. And then 10 days were over, and then we went home. But the second time I went was in 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006 in the wintertime to work in this dig with the tourists.
How did you get connected to the dig?
Through the church, through the man who was in charge of the tours, and he's in charge of the dig.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was quite amazing. You know, God leads and guides us, and we don't know where he's guiding us. But you see, when the Israelites went out of Egypt, they built the tabernacle, and then God dwelt over the tabernacle in the cloud, and they followed the cloud. When the cloud lifted and moved, the whole camp lifted and got up and moved with the cloud. And when the cloud settled, everybody settled. So I think he moved about every year. And I think most of the reason he moved was sanitation.
Oh.
You know?
That's an interesting thought. Yeah.
because they had to clean up and
right
and everything. So I think God leads us in under a cloud too.
Now you're living and here in Vermont still.
Yeah.
And with your family?
No. I live in Stowe, in town, in an apartment house, and I do my own thing. I'm just relaxing and getting healthy. I was kind of sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm okay. Yeah. The Lord leads us
good
through, you know?
Yes.
Amen.
And
He shows us that how powerful He is when He leads us through sickness and troubles.
Now, are you the only one in your family that feels this love towards Israel?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they don't like Israel, but I don't think they have this same enthusiasm that I do because they didn't live in the desert in Israel. Mm. And I think in the desert is where our faith begins. It begins with Abraham, who was led out of civilization into the desert. And I think God does the same thing with us.
Thank you. Now, I wanted to ask you, I mean, your faith is very strong, but when you,
thank you,
came out of Austria,
yeah,
there was no Israel, obviously, and you have,
yeah,
you were in America, and you, do you remember seeing the growth, the establishment of the State of Israel and the
no
growth? Was that any relevance to you at the time?
No, it wasn't. We didn't talk about Hitler. We didn't talk about politics in my home.
Mm-hmm.
We only were so busy singing, rehearsing, taking care of our guests because our home became a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer, we started summer singing weeks. So that was, we were just busy all the time. I never watched television. I never read the newspaper or the radio. So I didn't know what was going on in the world. And so it wasn't till The Sound of Music that I realized that our family was connected to Hitler or to,
really?
To history. Really?
Uh-huh.
It was,
well, that would make sense
thing,
because you ran away, your family,
yeah,
ran away from a terrible situation and wanted to create a better situation.
Better life.
Yeah, a better life for you.
Yeah.
So when you found that out, what did you think?
Well, I liked it. I liked The Sound of Music. It was different from our real life, you know. It wasn't,
yeah,
all there, but it was beautiful music, and I thought it was great.
But in relation to learning suddenly that your family had fled from Hitler,
yeah,
how did that strike you at the time when you discovered that through the movie?
Well, I think I became very grateful that we got out of,
yeah,
it. And then I realized how many other people didn't get out. Then,
uh-huh,
I found out about the Holocaust, you know, and all these things, and it sort of sounded kind of crazy. I didn't really want to get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went, well, that's another story because of how I got born again, because I grew up as a Catholic and I didn't understand my religion at all. So and when I was 18, my father died,
mm,
and he was my background pillar of faith and of everything.
And
so,
he is the famous Captain,
yeah,
Von Trapp.
Right, and when he was gone, everything fell apart for me.
Did it?
Uh-huh, I became very desperate, and I ran away myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back after 3 days, and then nobody understood why I had run away, why I couldn't talk. I was very tongue-tied as a little girl. I was very shy, and so they didn't know what to do with me. They sent me to a psychiatrist. He sent me to get electric shock treatment.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and
no,
then I couldn't think anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was quite
wow,
a life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then that was like 18, okay? So then I bumbled on until I was 40, and I had gotten myself a boyfriend, and he wasn't the right one, and then I had to say my sinner's prayer. And I said, Lord, I give up, you know, and I don't want to do it anymore by myself. So through that, I got to the community of the Crucified One in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I got there in May, and my mother said, that's the place for you. She always wanted me to become a nun.
Really?
Yeah, she wanted to stuff me in a convent all the time. And I was trying to run away from that. I was afraid of nuns. I was afraid of being in a convent. I said, no way, I'll do anything else.
I have to ask, I mean, your mother was Maria.
Yeah.
And she, according to the movie, ran away from being a nun, and now
she was sent away.
She was sent away.
Yeah, she didn't want to go away. She wanted to stay there. That was her haven.
Okay. Right.
So because they sent her out, they didn't want her there. She was too. I don't know. She was a.
She was a wild one.
A wild one. Yes.
But and so she wanted you to be a nun.
Yes.
Okay.
And I did not want to be.
And you did not want to be.
So it was quite of a struggle between her and me. So then I ended up in the community of the Crucified One in May 1978 or 98. And they were talking about a trip to Israel in October. And so that hit me. That's the place to go. I mean, God must have inspired me because I had never thought about going to Israel. But there it was, a chance to go to Israel. Okay, can I go? Can I stay with you here until October and then go to Israel? And they said, oh, sure, come on. Yes, we want you to stay. And so we did. We went, 90 of us.
Wow, big group.
Yeah. We went to Israel and we had a good tour. And that's when history and the Bible and Jesus became real for me. And then I said, now I can keep on living and I can pursue religion.
Yeah.
Because that's what my mother wanted. And
right.
I saw that as the only way to get out of trouble.
So you found your way through Israel, showed you the way in a very, very real sense.
Yes.
To come back to your own roots.
Yes.
And to come back to what your family would have loved for
well,
you. And
yes, to have something useful and have something, and be a witness. That's what we're meant to be, a good witness for God's love and mercy.
Well, my guest that I had on this week, a rock singer, Libby,
yes.
Her name is, she said that Israel is a place of freedom.
Yes.
And it gave her the freedom to be herself.
Yes.
Would you say that about yourself?
Myself. I do. I realized that the Jewish people in Israel, they were great survivors. And they do anything to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I could find myself in that role, to become a survivor, to be a survivor, and that it's God's help that helps us to survive. So I put a lot of things together in the right place.
I think you did. Well, we probably need to end soon, but
okay.
I am so happy that I've met you. This was just by chance.
Yes, it was wonderful that you had a chance to ask me questions and that I could talk about Flora and about Israel.
And I would, if you ever come to Nashua, if we're able
yes.
to get there, I would love to have you live on the show again. That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
I hope this is coming out and we're going to be able to broadcast it with your permission.
Yes, ma'am.
And what would you advise, what would you like to say about Israel to other people? Do you have anything?
I always wish that everybody would have a trip to go to Israel and to have their attitudes changed, their outlook on the world. You know, the world is getting smaller all the time. Where's the important place? Where's the important idea for the world to go? And I found it in Israel.
That's so beautiful. To get their attitudes changed.
You know, there's such a thing called replacement theology, and that is a big lie which permeates religion and politics and everything. And we can't get out of it by ourselves. Only God can get us out. And God is the God of miracles. In the book of the history of Israel, he is the God of daily miracles. So we believe in daily miracles, and in the little things of the world, in our daily life, we can find many miracles. Einstein said that.
Einstein was Jewish.
Yeah, he was.
So thank you, Rosemary. I'm so glad to have met you.
Nice to meet you.
And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And
I wish you all the best, and shalom.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shalom.
And Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom to Israel.
Yes.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Made it to the corner office sooner than most. Workaholic. Bought the house of our dreams and finally took the family on a well-deserved vacation. Who would have thought that our lives could be tripped up by a gland the size of a walnut? Prostate cancer. I was so busy moving up that I missed the most important meeting of my life, the one with my doctor.
Talk to your doctor about being screened for prostate cancer. Log on to nhprostatecancer.org.
The images from Haiti are heartbreaking. Homes, hospitals, and schools destroyed. Families searching for loved ones. Parents trying to feed their children. But we can all do something. We can help the American Red Cross as it delivers the food, water, and medicine that can save lives. Donate $10 by texting Haiti to 90999. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your help.
Home foreclosure can be a nightmare. A couple of missed house payments, and before you know it, your house is being sold right from underneath you. You don't know where you or your family are going to live, or even where you are going to spend the night. If you don't think it can happen to you or anyone you know, think again. You don't have to face this alone. There is a new government-sponsored program that may help you keep your home. Nonprofit certified counselors from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling are available to work with you and can help you deal with your lender. And this service is completely free. The sooner you call, the better your options. Call 866-687-6322. Or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. This nightmare does not have to happen to you. That number again, 866-687-6322. Or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.
We're locally owned, and that means we're here to serve you. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
Hi, we're back. This is Israel is Real on WSMN 1590, coming out of Nashua, New Hampshire. And we're a community-supported program. And again, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like to help us stay on the air, you can visit our website at israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. And you can email us at israelisreal1590 at gmail.com, israelisreal1590 at gmail.com. We'd like to hear again from one of our sponsors, Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel and informs you of how its technical advances personally benefit you? Did you know that Israeli scientists have developed a way to use white blood cells from healthy donors' blood to stimulate the passions own body to complete the healing process? Especially it's good for the complications which are following surgery. To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website, www.nh4israel.org. That's www.newhampshireforisrael.org.
We'd also like to remind you that Shuli Natan, the music that we're listening to, is by Shuli Natan, an Israeli folk singer, one of Israel's icons in the folk singing world, singer of Jerusalem Gold. She'll be coming for a concert on March 5th. We'll be interviewing her next week, actually, February 26th, at here on Israel is Real from 10 to 11 in the morning. So please tune in to hear Shuli Natan. And I'd like to also say, if anyone out there is in loves Jewish tradition, has a strong Jewish background, and loves working with children, Congregation Beitenu in Amherst, New Hampshire, is looking for a Jewish studies teacher to teach grades 1 through 6. So please call 603-554-1457, or you can find them on the web at www.beitenu.org. That's BETENU.ORG. Jewish studies teachers, come on out. So we have been talking, we were hearing in a wonderful interview with Rosemary Trapp from the Trapp Family Singers, and we'd like to thank Rosemary for giving us that opportunity to hear her views on Israel. And we started out by talking about faith, and she certainly is a woman of faith after all she's been through, and we appreciate her love and support of our country, Israel.
Unbelievable that, you know, a story that you remember from seeing in television or cinema or whatever, it's coming true by this person. And yes, she is speaking about belief, and she is speaking about faith. And she said something very interesting for me, that you need to live in desert in order to come to understand yourself and to come to a certain point that you start being a believer. And my sense is that having in mind that the desert, it's something that usually it's not flourishing. It's a very regular and uniform color. Maybe this is what's helped her to become, to flourish her belief into herself.
Another thing about being in the desert is you have to really, when you have nothing,
you need to connect to yourself.
You need to connect to yourself. You need to connect to something. And you also realize that there's something greater than yourself out there.
And the silence.
And the silence,
of the desert is something that you need to experience in order to understand.
It's life-changing. And as we know, the Israelites, after leaving Egypt, spent many years going through the desert and through the Sinai, which I love. I spent many years there myself. Would you like to tell us a little bit about this week's Torah portion?
Our Torah portion today is Truma. Truma, it's about the purpose of the Exodus was always more than the liberation of the Hebrew slaves. It was the establishment of a physical existence in which God's presence would exist. And at the center of that existence will be the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle, the portable sanctuary. And they shall make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The establishment of the Mishkan make it possible for God's presence to dwell in the midst of the people. The Mishkan will be the result of the collective efforts of the entire nation of Israel. It will be constructed from donation of their possessions and skills and dedicated to the service of God. There is a tendency to think that there are two distinct, even opposite spheres of existence, the sacred, which we are saying in Hebrew, Kodesh, and the profane, which is the whole. But this is not so. Hol and Kodesh are the starting and the end points on a continuum. The construction of the Mishkan teach that even when we are involved in the everyday activities of life, we have the ability to be orientated to the holy. We are able and we are challenged by God to live every moment of our lives in a way that prepares for sanctity. The building of the Mishkan on earth begins with the building of the Mishkan in our hearts.
Amen.
Well, but you don't ask me anything about?
Well, I think it's about connection. It's about where we start, where we end.
I think that the
circle, I think the cycle.
I think that the question that it's arise for me, it's why people, human being, need to start building a building for God if God himself is able to build the entire world. Mm-hmm. But this is another discussion.
So why?
Because God probably, in my mind, is looking for us to act like a community, to be able to accept one the other. It's clear that not everyone and each of us have the same image of what's the meaning of the temple, the building, even with the exactly sizes that the Bible is giving us, we must work together in order to put together a building. And this is part of our well-being.
And I think this pertains not only to the Jews who were in the desert, this pertains to
everyone. Absolutely.
Everyone. And our building today is our world.
Right.
And we need to work together to make that a good place. With that note, we're coming to the end of our show. We're Rachel and Sonia, and this is Israel is Real. By the way, our theme music that you hear, not this music we're listening right now, is Julie Natan. Again, she's coming March 5th, Saturday at 8 p.m. to the Jewish Federation of New Hampshire for a concert. Our regular theme music is brought to you by myself, Rachel. And you can hear more of that at www.rachelmusic.net, R-A-H-E-L music.net. We're on the air every Friday from 10 to 11 on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, on the internet, wsmnradio.com. And again, thank you, Rosemary Trapp, for being with us. Thank you, George, for helping us out every week. WSMN Radio.
Shabbat Shalom.
Israel is Real.
Connecting you to the news of the day.